Boy, this Pelican season really fell apart quick, huh? Like gate week one?
Something like that.
It's early, they really did.
Earlier than normal. I mean, usually
if you think about it, I mean, they started 1-11. So yeah.
Things really escalated.
Yeah. Boy, that got out of hand quickly.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk skill rating is a zero. It is the day after Mardi Gras. The Broncos did win the Super Bowl on Sunday. The offseason has officially begun, and we have the 2015 football season finale of the Dome Patrol podcast.
.com.
Coming at you with several things to talk about, so put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'm a zero. I just got in, had a long drive back home today from Orlando, so.
Oh, you drove back today?
Yeah, we drove back today. Got back about maybe an hour ago.
Wow.
Oh, goodness.
Commitment.
You know, I can't miss a show.
Wow. You must have left early in the morning then. You must be pretty tired.
We left at, I thought we'd leave earlier. We left at about 9:30.
Wow. All right, Damon, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Thank you. Oh, zero.
Wow, the trifecta. No one is drinking for this season finale.
Got to get our minds right, looking forward to 2016.
It's going
to
be interesting how this show goes. Watch it be our best show ever.
Yeah, right.
We'll be the most astute, well-spoken. Nobody goes on a rant except Damon when it's supposed to happen. All right, so let's move into our first topic, obviously, which is the Super Bowl recap.
I'm super! Thanks for asking. All things considered, I couldn't be better, I must say. I'm feeling super. No, nothing bugs me. Everything is super when you're... Don't you think I look cute in this hat?
Oh, thank fucking Christ.
What?
I was sitting
here... A little
here.
Happy?
Oh, man, I think I was texting with y'all. I was texting with four or five different people, and we all agreed no one wanted Cam Newton and the Panthers to win that Super Bowl, you know. I was involved in that game emotionally as if it was a Saints game. I mean, I did not want them to win. So it's so nice. Obviously, I mean, Well, let's talk about the game itself before we get on the scumbag of Cam Newton.
Well, what about your viewing experience? You guys went to parties or whatnot? I think Jeff said you went to a party.
Yeah. We did a parade. Why are you laughing?
I thought of a joke.
Tell it.
It was in his mouth. Everybody was coming.
Oh. No, don't tell it.
Too late. It's already been told.
Oh, you know. We did a parade here Sunday, so a bunch of us got together, cooked a big old pot of jambalaya, and then went to one of the other people's houses after to watch the game. And I mean, it was a decent game. I mean, kind of boring at first, very defensive. We thought it would be, right?
But I thought I thought you loved defenses.
I love when there's one good defense on the team, not two.
Well, all teams can only have one good defense.
I like I mentioned last week, I was at the park. I think we left the park around 6:30. So the game had started, caught a little bit on the radio. There wasn't a lot of scoring going on early. Got to a restaurant, ate a little quick dinner, and watched the end of the first half. And then we got to the room. Where my family was staying. We got there, and I think the second half had just started. So basically watched the whole second half in the room. But, like, I didn't see any of the commercials in the first half. Saw a few in the second half.
You didn't miss anything.
I heard they weren't good.
Right. Well, yeah, we're good. We'll get to that. Right, after the game.
Okay.
I mean, so Denver does what Carolina did for their playoffs, and that is score a defensive touchdown. So somebody said there was going to be a defensive touchdown. Jason, I think that was you. Denver got it early in the game when Cam Newton was stripped.
Strip sacked, yeah, right. At the goal line.
Look, this game was totally about, well, it was totally defense. You know, the defense got both of these teams there.
Well, hold on, but Carolina did have a really good offense during the regular season.
They
scored 30. Well, they say what you want. They scored 30 points a game. Their defense is good. There's no doubt that helped.
Apparently not. Apparently, when they play a good team, they can score because they played the worst record in the league. We know that because we played almost the exact same record. The AFC South, NFC South, and NFC East were fucking atrocious.
Atrocious?
Atrocious. I mean, there wasn't a good team amongst a bunch. And Carolina's 15-1 record, or 17-2, if you want to, you know, doesn't mean shit. You can take it and shove it up your ass. Because there's only one record that fucking matters. And in my opinion, it showed that they were not, they didn't look like they belonged on the field with Denver.
I mean, the Denver's defense is just that good.
Denver's defense did the week before to the Patriots.
Everything. I mean, they shut down your model franchise. Denver's defense was just unbelievably awesome this season. I mean, a couple of the best pass rushers.
Von Miller, God bless him.
Yeah, he's about to
and
get.
And DeMarcus Ware, I'm so nice to see him get from under the stench that is the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
And at an older age, I guess he has to be in his 30s, right?
He's probably around 30, 31, I would think.
You know?
It was nice to see Cam Newton look like a jackass against a good defense. I'll say that it was very enjoyable to watch him struggle.
The stat they gave, like, there was more sacks in this Super Bowl than any. We're talking about combined sacks than any in the history.
Probably Denver. Denver got 7 just themselves, and
right. And I think Carolina got 5 or 6.
Yeah, they had a good number too.
Yeah.
I don't think neither quarterback scored or was involved in a touchdown, correct?
I mean, Cam Newton was involved in Denver's touchdown.
Well, okay.
Yeah, he handed the ball off to.
And then Peyton did throw a 2-point conversion, so
he did get that. But and then looking
Roman
at stats,
Roman Harper was covering on the 2-point conversion.
Yeah, he got beat.
Used
to seeing that,
right?
But
especially in Super Bowl.
And look, I mean, Carolina really, you know, led most of the game in terms of yardage. They moved the ball, but the turnovers killed them.
Yeah, well, you know, they didn't. Well, they led in yardage, right? Okay, I mean that's.
Well, right, though, I mean that's what I mean. I mean right. I think it was like 300 something to Denver. Only had like 180 something total yards.
Look, you know, Denver's defense won the game without question. It wasn't Manning. You know, this is who won. I mean, you can go back. Defense wins championship. That is a saying, and we know it because it's true.
So it doesn't. Win that one.
Yeah, and right. I think that I heard a stat that in the Super Bowl, if one of the teams led the league in defensive points allowed, that team is 10-2 now in Super Bowls.
Sure.
And actually, one of the losers was Seattle last year. but right, for the most part, if you've got the number one defense in the league scoring wise, if you're in the Super Bowl, odds are you
right. So, you know, I mean, I thought it was a good game. Look, I mean, it came down to the last. I forget whenever Cam Newton fumbled the ball right there within the 10, and Denver scored. I mean, under 3 minutes in the game left, under two.
It was, yeah, it was,
you know,
towards the end.
So
when he tiptoed around it,
right. So I mean, up until that point, the game never got further than 10 points away. And at that point, it was only a 6-point. So meaning, I don't, you know, how can you not enjoy a game that's that never gets out of hand. I thought that's what football was about. So I don't.
Much better than a blowout, for sure.
You know, I mean, yeah, not even in close. So that was, you know, again, I watched the whole game. I was engaged. I was nervous the whole time. Like I said, I just knew, especially when they were only down by six, that Carolina's going to, they're going to do some miracle and win by a point. You know, I mean, you know, the whole, so I, you know, you said, you know, okay, you don't like defensive games. I mean, that's fine. You can't, but it was a good game. It was a good game. It wasn't a lot of scoring at all. The offensive on both sides didn't do anything. I think Denver had 196, 197 total yards, which is bad. And Carolina didn't have many more. I think they were under. I think they were under 300.
No. They had just over 300.
Okay.
It was funny Denver got the. Got the turnover and got that late touchdown, and they showed the Manning box, and everybody's excited, and Eli's just like,
yeah.
That face he made was priceless.
Well,
was that?
Well, hold on, but you know, I mean, what's so funny, and because we've all said it, anybody who's a football, more than a casual fan, has always said, oh, well, you know, Eli can always give Peyton the business when they meet at Thanksgiving or Christmas, you know. I have two more rings. Even though you're clearly the better quarterback, you know? And so that's what everybody thought when his face was...
Thanksgiving is ruined.
Right, yeah. Right. Did you not see that? I mean, you saw the...
I saw the face, absolutely.
Okay.
I really, honestly, what I think it was is Eli being a competitor. Because I mean, Archie, if you really look behind Cooper, Archie had the same kind of face. It was that face of determination that, like, okay, finish this. Like, I know you got it, but it's not... It's that intensity, not a, oh, shit, Peyton's doing better than
right.
Me.
Well, Eli came out and said, I guess gave a explanation for what the faith was, and he said that he was just watching the field because he knew that they had to go for two, and so that he was still watching the play.
Okay, Eli.
Right.
Sure wouldn't because he had about 10 Bud Lights.
Well, that could be it, too. But,
so that was entertaining. I got a little enjoyment out of that. I thought that was fun.
Yeah. Well, I get the most enjoyment, I think, Jeff, you said a while ago, with just, you know, no dabbing or dapping or whatever the hell you call it, you know. No smiling. Cam wasn't having fun Sunday. You know, he's just having fun. He's good for the game. He's enjoying the game. You know, apparently something was wrong with the footballs. You know, we all saw that because – Cam Newton kept throwing them down and jumping away from them. I'm not sure why. You know? I think it's time. I mean, look, let's bring this up now. The whole not diving on the football. And look, as Saints fans, I know we've all thought about this, you know, even though he wasn't playing for our team at the time. Drew Brees dived for a ball in a meaningless game in Week 16 when he was playing for San Diego, you know, in 2005. He got his shoulder tore off, okay? Remember John Elway in his last Super Bowl or the Super Bowl against Green Bay, which was his second to last. He was the oldest quarterback to play in the Super Bowl at the time. And they needed a first down late in the game. And he's running with the ball, and he jumps up, and he's hit and helicopter spun, you know.
To impress a chick, helicopter dick, go helicopter dick, helicopter dick.
All right.
To impress a chick, do the helicopter dick.
Wow.
That's a man who wanted the first down, who wanted to win a Super Bowl. But what did Cam Newton do? He fumbled the ball down by less than a touchdown, down by six. And he doesn't dive on it. You can all watch the replay. He clearly was going for the ball and backed up. I mean that is embarrassing. If you're on his team, you have to really wonder what the fuck are you doing.
Definitely didn't look good for him.
No.
And of course the media's been talking about it all week.
Well, sure, it's one of the most. I mean. It's one of the most embarrassing things I've seen a player do on the football field. Now, did y'all hear his excuse?
No, I didn't.
He said that he was at a weird angle at the ball, and that is, and that if he'd dove on it, he'd have broke his legs because of the weird angle his feet were. Now, I've watched a replay after he said that. I mean, all you need to do is drop. Literally just drop. Fall. Watching the replay, he looks like he's in the best position to get the ball.
In his defense, I think anybody in that situation, it's a split decision. You have half of a second to make that decision.
Right. Okay, I agree with you.
So I don't think it was a decision. I think it was an instinct, and his instinct was self-preservation. I think what led to that instinct was, and you could see it on his face, even the couple of drives before that, he was done. He was out of this game. They got to him psychologically. This game was over. They lost. It was all, and so why is his instinct going to tell him to go after it when not only have we lost this game, but now they hit me again? And I drop the ball again. Fuck it, I'm done. Walk off the field. Let's just run the clock out. We're done. I think he checked out.
Right. Well, I mean, I won't agree. I won't disagree there. That he checked out, even though you're only down by less than a touchdown. You know. Yeah, I can believe he's that kind of quarterback. That his self-preservation. You know, Drew Brees. Drew Brees' instinct, and he still does it today. And you, how many times have you seen Drew do something during a game and go, oh, fuck, I wish Drew wouldn't do that, you know? Drew Brees' instinct, like you said, would just be to go after the ball, not even, especially in the Super Bowl. That's in your head. Your mind, I need that ball. I only need 7 points, and I'll be a Super Bowl champion. Drew Brees would never have, he would have dove on it and got from, you know, and say, you know, his health be damned.
I mean, he's done that. I mean, the infamous not taking himself out of the Tampa game.
Yeah. Anyway, to me, that shows Cam Newton for what he is, what we said he was all year long. People have sat here and tried to make excuses for him after the game. We don't know about his press conference. So, you know, he showed up to the press conference wearing his hoodie, answers two or three one-answer questions, clearly upset. And I don't mind him being upset. I mean, I don't have fallen for being upset. And then just walks out. Has enough of it.
Did you hear the audio of one of the reasons why some people feel like he walked out? Because
he could hear
the Denver defense. Yeah, that Denver.
On the other side, right.
Yeah.
And
he didn't like the fact that they were, and they weren't talking trash, but I'm sure he took it as talking trash. Because what they said, something just basically like, yeah, our plan was to stack the box, make him throw the ball. Can you throw the ball against us? You know, they were like, we're not going to let him run. And he didn't like the fact that that guy was saying that. Well, I'm sorry, but the guy was just saying that their game plan worked because that's what they did.
Right.
Sorry that you don't want to hear that. Now, I do think it's kind of stupid. It is the Super Bowl. Why would you have both teams' press conferences within earshot of each other? I guess the reporters can maybe bounce back and forth. I don't know.
Yeah, perhaps. I'm not sure. But
I mean, I know the criticism he's going to get is that you got to be a professional.
Yeah,
and you got to deal with that because if you want the good, you got to take the bad.
That's right.
He would want the limelight, and he'd be doing all his little poses and shit. If he'd have won, he wouldn't have walked out. If he'd have won,
exactly. Oh no, he'd have been smiling and dapping and enjoying the game, Jeff. He just enjoying the game. We need that for the game, man. He needs to enjoy. You're a fucking asshole, like I said last week. You're a fucking showboating, gloating after a win, piece of fucking shit. Okay? That's why I said last week, he's just an asshole. Again, he is, it's a, I'm not even, I don't, you know, gloating, rubbing
things are going good.
Right.
He wants
right.
the attention. But when things start to go bad, he doesn't want the attention.
Oh, he's going to pout. And he came out the day after and said, well, I'll show you someone who's, who's okay with losing, and I'll show you a loser. Well, first of all, Cam, you're a loser. Okay?
Well, you know, no, that you're I agree with that. I'm not okay with losing. I'd be upset. I've never seen a losing quarterback from the Super Bowl go out smiling in the press conference, but I have seen him go out and deal with it.
Right, and take their lumps. Drew Brees, Brady, Manning.
I mean, Brees never had a losing Super Bowl.
But he you know, he's had losing games and losing playoff games. You know, I mean, up in Seattle,
a lot of losing playoff.
11, like a lot of, you know, San Francisco, he likes to dap and jump up and down. He got this big smile on his face. You're a fucking petulant child.
Did y'all see the, you know how he loves to hand the football after a touchdown to a child in the,
right.
Did y'all see the meme on Twitter of him handing to a Denver Bronco? Yeah, the Super Bowl trophy to a Denver Bronco or something.
Yeah, they've had some pretty cool, some pretty funny memes.
And then I saw the one of the fumble where he didn't go after it and they replaced the ball with the trophy and it's bouncing around.
Oh, yeah. the fun one is when they have the good one on the internet where, you know, he fumbled the ball, he's going after it, and they have a spider run across the screen.
When he jumps?
When he jumps back, and it's pretty funny, you know. Look, this is why I didn't want Cam Newton to win the Super Bowl, because of that whole, he's just having fun, he's just doing this. No, he's not. He's rubbing it. He's in the face of his opponent. He's showing off. He has no class, okay? He's not just having fun. He's fucking showing something he's not. Fuck him. You're a fucking loser. Loser.
Oh.
Fuck you.
Oh, you're getting it back.
Lost.
I know what he's talking about.
He fucking lost. I'm so happy. Can take your 15-1 record. It doesn't mean anything. Nothing.
Isn't that something?
Nobody,
Imagine that.
Right.
15-1.
Oh, we still had we still had a hell of a season. No, you didn't.
Well, they did.
No, they didn't.
They got to the Super Bowl. I mean, even if you lose the Super Bowl.
Who lost the Super Bowl 5 years ago? Quickly.
Doesn't mean it wasn't a good season for that team.
Oh, yes, it does.
If the Saints make the Super Bowl and lose, while it's not the ultimate goal we all want, you could still say that was a good season.
I don't even know who won the Super Bowl 5 years ago after us. Was it Green Bay?
Green Bay.
Okay. Right. Yeah, Jeff. Jason knew that.
Yeah.
Steelers. The Steelers.
I knew it too. I got it.
No, you didn't, Jeff.
I said Green Bay before Jason did. Check the tape.
Yeah, but you said it in a questioning tone. Was it?
Well, at least I said Green Bay.
Green Bay?
At least I didn't say Arizona. Seattle?
Well, we all know it wasn't Atlanta. I mean, that's the one thing we all think.
Yeah.
But no, fuck no, no, it's not. You know how I would rather not go to the Super Bowl than lose like that. I mean, do you know how as much as we glorify and remember our Super Bowl victory, could you imagine if we would have lost?
Oh, there's no doubt it would have been crushing. I mean, look, it was
crushing.
It was crushing when we lost the NFC title game to Chicago.
Yeah,
I wasn't. It took me a while to get over that, and I'm sure the Super Bowl probably would have been worse.
Oh,
you know that San Francisco loss took me a long time to get over that.
Long time to go there.
Carolina or any fan reaction to the loss? I mean, I'm sure there's fan reactions on YouTube, which would be fun to watch.
I didn't go on YouTube and watch, but. As I often like to do, after the game, I started trolling the Carolina message boards. And it's so much fun. I mean, they were losing their minds after the loss. You know, a lot of them, I'm turning in my, you know, I've been a fan for 20 years, and I'm turning in my fan card. I'm not buying anything. Lots of that, you know. Again, that's how devastating that loss is, you know. And like we just said, I can remember after that San Francisco loss, I have no recollection of that Super Bowl because I didn't watch it. I couldn't, you know. I was so devastated. Mm-hmm. So their fans, you know, a lot of, you know, the fix is in. They want Peyton Manning to win.
I saw a lot of that, too, where they said it was fixed. And
right.
You know, Newton's whole dejection at the press conference was really because he was so pissed off that he was asked to do that and he had to do that.
Right,
that is some... that wild is ass conspiracy.
You know, we, those people need to take those foil helmets and, you know, off and just obviously, you know, the refs were against them. The refs, you know, the refs were against them.
No, Denver's defense shut you.
Right, Denver's defense just beat your ass.
Now,
that's what it comes down to.
Now, to give them, not to give those fans credit, but that the catch that was not overturned right before the strip fumble, I kind of think that was a catch by Carolina. You all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
I didn't see the play.
I heard about it, but I haven't watched it.
You haven't watched it? Yeah, well, I mean, again, it wasn't a fix. It was a...
Isn't that perfect? That's the whole problem with the NFL.
That's been the case all year. Is it a catch or not a catch?
Right, exactly, exactly. And again, I believe it was a catch, but the ball did move when the guy was going to the ground, but I never saw it touch the ground. So, but it's definitely an iffy call, and 10 different people can watch it. And had, you know, five on one side, five on the other. But, you know, so that was their message board. And so, and you know, they have a game day thread like all message boards do.
Yeah.
Well, and I just,
you know,
I just,
okay, so he makes that catch. You still.
Well, but you make the catch.
Can't get, well, was the first down?
Yeah, it was the first down. It was a 15-yard first down. You're not, you know, then you maybe you don't get the sack fumble. So.
Yeah, that was that's
you know,
massive turnover touchdown.
It is, you know. So, but that was, you know, people.
Well, I hope that gets a little more light, and the NFL has to deal with that.
Well,
that's an NFL problem.
I am glad that came up, considering all the issues they had all season. You have something like that in the Super Bowl, and
right,
and it's a little controversial. So, I am kind of glad that happened.
It's just funny, you know, we're having our 50th Super Bowl, and we don't know what a catch is. I mean, you would think that would have been addressed years ago, but.
All right, so moving
into... Wait. So obviously, again, you know, their fans going shit crazy, you know, giving me joy beyond belief. And then I went on Shitlanta's board.
See what these assholes are saying.
Right, you know, so again, watching the Panthers fans lose their minds, and it gave me lots of warm and fuzzy feelings, and I was happy. But then I started reading Shitlanta's message board. And they were happy, and that made me sad. You know, anything that makes Atlanta fan happy makes me sad. I mean, you know, and what really got me was when I read one post where the Atlanta fan said something about I couldn't stand for the Panthers to win a Super Bowl before us.
Well,
that's the one thing. All Atlanta fans still think that they're fucking. They still living in 2012, believing they're 10 yards away from a Super Bowl. You know, but like I said, anything that makes the Atlanta fans happy makes me sad, and everything that causes them to feel low makes me feel good. So fuck you, Atlanta. Just fuck you. That's all I have to
say. As is tradition,
we'll give us an opportunity to say fuck you, Atlanta. Yeah. All right, so let's jump into the halftime show. Any thoughts on that, Damon, Jason? Did you see it?
No, I didn't see it.
I saw it. I thought it was all right. I like that that Uptown Funk song. That's catchy.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's some sort of controversy, but apparently I missed it.
I didn't see any controversy.
Well, they're boycotting Beyonce or having rallies against Beyonce.
Why? What did she do?
I don't know. Something about the Black Panther. She did something to the Black Panther. Then I watched the thing. I didn't see it. I don't know.
I don't know.
I think maybe their dress, the way they were dressed. I don't know. And it does seem to be a whole lot to do about nothing.
Yeah, well, people are looking for... Those inclined to get their panties in a bunch will get their panties in a bunch.
Right, right.
Okay, so they're going to find... Somebody who's looking for a problem will find it.
Right, and again, don't ask me to explain exactly what the problem is because I don't know. Because I don't, right. But I do say I did see where they either planned on or did boycott something for Fiance or Beyonce or do something in New York, and I'm like, I watched it. I don't even know what y'all complaining about, and if y'all had shut the hell up, I'm sure no one would have. You know,
right? Of course, because it is nothing. Whatever it is, it was nothing. Now, what I would say is it's a good thing Beyonce and Bruno Mars showed up, because if it was just Coldplay, Jesus, that would have been a terrible halftime show.
Yeah.
And it, I mean, he one of these things doesn't belong. When
yeah.
The three of them are going, I mean, it was all right when he was doing the thing. I mean, I'd have loved for the Super Bowl Sharks to show back up when he was doing his thing.
Yeah.
But that when they showed up, it cranked it up a notch and it got good.
No, I agree.
It was safe and all that. With
right,
I mean, the whole
right.
show was.
I don't care. I mean, I don't. I'm. But apparently, the Super Bowl, or maybe it was just this year. But
don't say it's Coldplay is headlining the Super Bowl. No, Coldplay is the opening act.
Right.
For Beyonce and Bruno Mars.
But you know, apparently people turn in just for the halftime show. Like they get a boosted rating for the halftime show, and I don't.
Oh, yeah, it's like a little miniature concert.
Yeah, again, I can tell you my any Super Bowl memory that doesn't have to do with football is a Whitney Houston America national anthem. Right, you know. I can remember Aerosmith and Britney Spears doing a halftime show.
You remember Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson?
Janet Jackson, obviously, because she showed a boob. And then Katy Perry a couple of years ago, you know.
That was a good one.
That was a real good one. And the one that happened 2 days
yeah,
ago,
I
still remember that. So five out of, you know, possibly the 28 or 30 Super Bowls I've watched, you know.
Well, then, I mean, the Who for the Saints.
Yeah, I remember the song, not some, but I don't remember them, if that makes any sense.
That one might have just been good for you because it was the Saints Super Bowl.
Well, I mean,
yeah,
you know,
obviously,
yeah.
Right.
I mean, I would say the Green Day before the Saints Falcons game, when the return to the dome, Green Day and U2 was better than a lot of halftime shows.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah. Well, now there was also a ton of emotion.
Sure, that's what I'm. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
right.
But I mean, it was a good, safe show.
First you take a run at LaFour's with the sock full of quarters. I do it, but I pull my back out humping your mom last night, Neuch. Okay, you clock him on his headpiece and knock his ass out cold. That's when phase two kicks in. I attack the structure, Wolvie Berserk style, knock out the fucking pin, and bickety-bam, the motherfucker is rubble. Hence, no game show.
So, is Coldplay the band that it's popular to hate, or is Nickelback the band that it's popular to hate?
Nickelback more so, but I think both are... I think Coldplay definitely does have some haters out there.
But
Nickelback's the big one.
Okay.
I know neither band. I thought Coldplay was I thought they were a heavy metal band. Apparently not.
No. I was just surprised that it was Coldplay. I mean,
yeah.
After years of, I mean, like you said, you've had huge names.
Well, I mean, I'm guessing. I don't know. I'm guessing that they are huge worldwide. Maybe not in the United States. You know, just like soccer.
Wide audience.
Yeah.
Wait till, I guess, next year it'll be Pitbull.
I don't know who that is, but.
It's famous worldwide.
I mean, I know who it is. Isn't he?
I think Lady Gaga did a good job.
A Spanish rapper. Well, Lady Gaga, she did great. You know, not up to Whitney Houston great. Houston.
I don't know that anybody's going to live up to Whitney
that
Houston.
Was incredible. That was incredible. But so. Lady Gaga did very well. And again, so, like you said, it wasn't one of the better. It was a safe, easy, kind of cute Super Bowl show. Super Bowl halftime. It wasn't. It wasn't.
So, what about the commercials now? We kind of at the top of the show mentioned that they were meh. But
yeah, really.
Further to say about them?
No, I mean I didn't have.
A little better than last year. Last year's were probably
really
I've ever seen.
Dude, I didn't feel like any of these commercials lived up to the title Super Bowl commercial.
Oh, I'm not saying that either. I'm saying that's how bad last year was. Last year, they shouldn't have been on, you know, at 2 a.m.
Right. No, and I think this is the thing. Look, let's all give our best commercial, and I'll give mine. The commercial for the Amazon Echo, I think that's what it is. But that was the one with Alec Baldwin, Dan Marino, Missy Elliott. Did you know the commercial?
Yeah, that was your favorite?
Yeah, I liked Marino when it. I thought he was pretty funny, you know, when Alec Baldwin asked the little Amazon thing, you know, how many championships does Marino have? You know, I mean, you know, I think Marino playing, you know, it showed he had a good sense of humor about his career. And then when the little guy was talking to Alec Baldwin and he told him he said, "Oh, I'm gonna sack Dan Marino, I'm gonna sack him hard," and get that little cocky, you know. Marino said, No, you're not. Yeah, I thought it was cute. I liked it.
Okay.
You probably like baby dog monkey.
No, actually, that dog was one of the most disturbing things I've ever seen.
Was it?
That was just.
Didn't remind you of Jason's baby pictures?
That's a terrible fucking joke.
But I'm just saying.
He's reaching today.
Have you seen it? Have you seen Jason when he was a child?
Probably not.
Not an attractive child. I mean, I know he's not an attractive adult either, but
lawnmower joke.
The what?
It's a lawnmower joke you're telling right now.
Yeah.
It wasn't a joke. It was more an observation. Not a joke, but an observation.
Sticking with it. He's not giving up on it.
Observation.
Right. He's trying.
I mean, I honestly cannot think of a commercial memorable enough even to bring up. I mean, did Doritos do any?
Yeah,
was there good Doritos one.
The Doritos were the first, I think, the first, very first commercial. It was with they're doing an ultrasound on the baby and the Doritos, and the mom throws it, and a little disturbing actually. I mean,
it was actually good until she threw it in the baby.
Right.
Like, all they should have stopped at the baby.
Yes, correct. The baby wanting the Doritos inside of the womb was kind of cute, you know. But yes, but once you threw it and. You gave it that visual. I mean, that's not a visual I want.
No, and that's, you know, I think that's the problem with Superboy ads is they feel like they got to go too far. What about the Walken closet, Christopher Walken?
Yeah, I mean, I like Christopher Walken, but I mean,
Oh, you know what I think is the best is Anthony Hopkins for TurboTax.
That was funny. That was cute.
And you know what they did was before. The Super Bowl a couple of days before or whatever, they did like a preliminary setup for the commercial where Anthony Hopkins made a statement. Like I don't remember if they presented it as a commercial or if they presented it as something like an interview or whatever. But him saying, "I would, you know, I have too much integrity than to lend my name to sell out for a product in a commercial. That's why I don't do commercials, blah, 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 blah." Here he comes with the commercial, and then they launch the commercial where he's doing the interview and he's saying the same thing, like, "Oh, I would never do something like that," and he's that's my favorite one.
Okay, I miss that.
And yeah, Puppy Baby Monkey was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, that was horrible. And, you know, Budweiser usually has a pretty good Clydesdale commercial that's always...
Did they do one this year?
I know they did one, but you know normally it always tugs on your heartstring. Like,
mm-hmm.
I remember I think last year, a couple years ago, something about like a dog and one of the Clydesdales, you know, being buddies, and then the Clydesdale goes off, and the dog's sad, but then he comes back as a Budweiser Clydesdale. You know, and I mean it's kind of cute and all, you know. But this year they did something. I vaguely remember them watching Standing Strong or Standing Alone since 1776 or something like that. I don't know.
Not Backing Down?
Not Back, whatever it was.
What was the year where the guy is, he goes into the grocery store and he's to buy beer, and there's half of it is like a stack of some generic brand and half of it's a stack of Budweiser. And the guy grabs a 12-pack of the generic brand and the Clydesdale like head pops in and he's like right there. And the Clydesdale saying, I mean, thinking out loud, but the guy can hear it, and he's like, "What are you doing?" And the guy looks at him, he's like, "Yeah, you can hear me." And he's like, "What are you doing? You getting some beer, huh? You there?" The guy kind of puts it back, the generic, and he starts saying, "The Budweiser." He's like, "Yeah, that's it. There you go. And he grabs the Budweiser, he's like, "Nah, you're talking," or something like that. That was a pretty good one.
Yeah. So, but anyway, yes. Commercials weren't exactly overwhelming. I think Jason must be very tired tonight.
Well, I didn't see a lot of the commercials. I did see the ones in the second half, but they weren't very memorable. You had the Super Bowl babies.
Oh, yeah. Somebody said missed opportunity. The next commercial should have been for, like, Trojan.
That would have been cute.
Apparently, there are a bunch of movie... you know, promos, trailers, or whatnot that were kind of big. But
I didn't see any of those.
Like, I heard there was a Civil War, there was a Superman, there was a big X-Men one.
I saw none of them. I saw the X-Men one.
I didn't notice any of them.
Okay, but I mean, yeah. Again, I didn't the Super Bowl baby. That's the only one I really remember. I didn't see a lot of these other ones, like that puppy monkey thing. I didn't see that
baby puppy monkey. I saw the Civil War one, but I saw it online afterwards. I watched the Super Bowl twice. You know, because I DVR'd, I went back and watched it again, and I didn't see the Civil War one. But anyway, yeah.
Okay.
So not a big year for commercials.
Well, how about the fact that right after the game, the first one Peyton Manning kissed was Papa John?
Yeah, that was – and Papa John just ran right out there and was like –
ran right out there, you know, give him a nice big kiss. I'm like, all right.
And then Peyton Manning said, I'm going to celebrate with my kid, Bud and Weiser.
Yeah, shilling Budweiser.
But they – everybody claims that him and Budweiser claim that that was not a paid plug. That was not a I'm going to Disney World kind of thing.
I mean, I think he actually does drink Budweiser. I remember seeing a picture of him at a Pro Bowl one time with his fucking gut hanging out drinking a Budweiser.
Why not?
Yeah, it was weird. First time we've ever heard a player, you know, say it like that. But kind of makes me definitely think that he knows this with his last game.
he don't give a fuck.
Go ahead, find me. How are you going to find me?
Either that or it was paid for. And
well, especially for him, winning the Super Bowl triggered a $2 million bonus in his contract.
Right, but it was the $2 million that he had negotiated down before the season.
Okay, but still, he got $2 million he wouldn't have if they'd lost.
No. Well, it's nice to have $2 million.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move into headlines.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
Game is over. The Mardi Gras Day, I believe, we got news that the Saints released Brandon Browner.
Well, Brandon Browner came out on Twitter the other day, and
I
think it was actually sooner than that. And
yeah.
Said,
maybe it was Monday.
Basically implied that he was being let go.
Right. He's all right. Thank you, New Orleans. I enjoyed it. He had very complimentary things to say about the city.
I don't know how. All the fans hate him. He was, but I mean, shit, he still got paid. I mean, he was the worst cornerback in football, still got paid.
He was the worst cornerback in football as far as penalties were concerned. He wasn't necessarily...
He was rated pretty... Now, again, I don't know how all these sites do their ratings, but he was one of the lowest rated defensive
Was he? So. Okay, I didn't...
And when he wasn't holding, he was getting burned. So... But this was a kind of a question with his cap hit, and we really would have only saved, I don't know, like $500,000, $1 million by cutting him. But I guess they figured he's just too much. We just can't, just can't have him anymore.
Well, as bad as he was, I mean, yeah, you know, bro's coming back. That's good.
You got to hope Lewis.
You have to hope Keenan Lewis is healthy.
Comes back.
Yeah. Swan. You have to hope, remember.
Swan's concussed.
How to play football and what a name is, because he don't know.
You got P.J. Williams coming back, but they'll probably have to draft another corner, for sure. Can't have enough.
Like we've said, besides quarterback, they can pretty much take whatever position they want.
Yeah, so, you know, all the Saints fans rejoiced that he was out of here.
Yeah.
All right, so then today we hear that Jari Evans is gone.
Is cut.
I don't know anymore.
I guess at first it was a little surprising, but 10 years is a long time. He dealt with a lot of injuries last year. Hasn't quite been the same player. And I think... You know, if his cap figure wasn't so high, he would have stuck around, but they just couldn't handle, I think it was going to be $7 or $8 million to keep him around.
Right. That's what you run into with him. He was definitely a cap casualty. Mm-hmm. And if I remember correctly, he had...
Oh, he had already renegotiated last offseason.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, to keep him here.
Yeah, so they will save some money on the cap this year, but that's going to add $4 or $5 million in dead money.
I think right now, dead money, I think we're at $22 million.
And it's probably not going to be over with. So, well, which is what I said they needed to do. Get it all out the way. Because it's coming either this year or next year.
Well, it was last year also.
Well, and last year, but you know, we're already moved. You know, last year's over with. We already had that. But yeah, you still got more dead money coming, and you got some of these contracts. There were questions on whether they're going to go, where they're going to stay. So, where does Evans rank on the all-time Saints list now? I mean, I would think he's a shoe-in for Ring of Honor. I think he has to be. I mean, 10 years with us. I think he had 6 Pro Bowls, a few All-Pro seasons. I mean, he's one of the best 5 or 10 Saints, I think.
Well, no doubt as far as his accolades and go, yeah, he's probably. He's probably Breeze, Rofe, Jackson. You know, then you might maybe Morton Anderson, I think, was above him. You know,
I mean, as far as offensive linemen go.
No, I'm talking about in general.
Saints, okay.
Just total. Yeah. And it's not like the Saints have been littered with great players, you know, that many great players, but Jari was pretty damn good for his time here.
No doubt. It's,
yeah.
You know, he plays in an unsexy position, is all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Guard is a very unsexy position in the NFL. It's not even as sexy as tackle. But no, yes, he was definitely, he is definitely a top 5 Saint.
Yeah,
I mean, literally
is
one of the top 5 players that ever played on the Saints. I mean,
and his you know, play at guard is part of the reason why the Saints' offense has run so smoothly in the last decade.
No doubt.
So we'll see if he. I mean, I would if he wants to still play, I'm sure somebody will take a chance on him. If he still wants to put his body through all that.
Well,
you know, he did make a lot of money here. Got a nice big contract.
Well, sure. I was reading a post on the message board today. I know I shouldn't do that. And they, you know, they were asking about Hall of Fame. Does, you know, what the chances of Jabari getting in the Hall of Fame? Jari getting off.
Yeah, right.
I don't. Yeah. Small market. I mean, I know he made, like you said, the 5 Pro Bowls and 5 All Pros. You know, I don't see it happening.
He's borderline. I don't know. I mean, look, if he goes to another team and has another and ends up having another couple good seasons like Rofe did after we traded him, then I could see it happening. But he's probably going to be just short, I would think.
Yeah, that's my opinion. I don't.
Yeah,
he'll probably. Nah, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
But just, you know, what a great he's going to be missed. Now that's another position.
But
with
Armstead and Pete in place and Unger in place. I mean, you got 3 solid guys. Still.
Yeah. I think so. You need your 2 guards now. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a big position. I think they really look in the draft. Hopefully they can find another. They probably won't find a guy as good as Jari, but find somebody in the draft this year and hopefully plug him in. I mean, I don't think they're going to rely on Kelemente and Lolito and whoever else that got there. I think we're definitely going to need at least one, if not 2 guards. So,
all right. Humber and Hawthorne were also released.
Yeah, not surprised about Hawthorne.
Yeah, about time.
Yeah, yeah. So
Humber, I thought
he was all right, but I mean, he even, like, he was on the team, he was off the team, he was back on the team. It's not like we're really missing a ton with him. So that doesn't really register a lot with me. It's more, we all kind of figured Hawthorne's days were numbered. You know, he really hasn't lived up to the contract we signed him to a couple years ago, I don't think.
Okay. And then today, the day we're recording, Wednesday, was the day that
Well, a lot of stuff happened today, but LRB restructured.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I was going into Breeze's contract and how it his amount of 10.8, is it?
Yeah, but that was just in the con. I mean, that was nothing.
That just means it's fully guaranteed.
Well, no, right now only 10 of the 20 is guaranteed.
Well, right, but it does mean.
But they didn't do anything for that to happen. That was a contract.
You know, I think same thing. Like Bird had a number today that was guaranteed also.
Right.
So yeah, there'll still be some.
But if Breeze still between now and summer, I mean, he can still extend in that. Does it stretch that out?
Well, sure. Right. They can
for cap purposes.
Yeah. That's all we care about right now.
Well, yeah.
Who gives a shit how much we're paying him as long as it's not, you know, $10 million? If we can make it, you know, $6 million this year and $4 million next or whatever. Of course.
Yeah, they'll get. Yeah, I'm not worried about that. They're going to get something done.
Well, yeah.
What do you think?
So LRB restructured. Do you know any details on that deal?
No, just I think it was probably a case of, look, dude, you either restructure or we're cutting you.
I'm happy he did.
I guess, but and look, the defense
was right.
The defense was better with him in there, but he couldn't get on the field.
Right.
He couldn't stay on the field.
I think he's played 8 games out of the last 32.
any other Saints player?
We cut Shontavious Jones, but don't really
that are worth talking about. You didn't let me finish. Okay.
I think that's it. We'll see what other. I mean, you still got Colston. Do we cut him? Does he retire? Do we keep Streif around?
That's the one that, you know. I understand you can't get rid of everybody. Okay.
Today you're getting rid of you know, Evans, Umber, Hawthorne.
Yeah, I mean,
why is Streif still
there? Right. I mean, that was kind of my.
I suggest that he's gonna stay, but I mean, you might need him to back up Pete.
Well, you need somebody.
Right.
You will, but at his whatever his cap figure is going to be, you know, that's going to be the question. Do we do some more restructuring with him to keep him around?
Yeah. He said he wants to retire a Saint, so you'd say, you know what? What's that veteran minimum?
I don't know if it exactly works that way, but
I wish it did.
But there will be more moves coming over the next couple of weeks.
Like
they're not done yet.
Like me in a bar, there will be more moves coming.
Oh,
I'm in pickup moves. I kind of messed that up.
I got what you were.
Did
you
got that? You know.
I got.
But
right,
then when
I said
it, I thought people might be thinking dance moves. I said no, that's just silly. I mean, you know.
No, we
maybe
got.
Could use another. Good, thank you. Yeah. Pickup moves will be coming. Well, look, but before we move on, I want to say two things. Fuck Atlanta. just overall. A fun fact about the Panthers.
Fun fact.
Do you know the Panthers have never had a back-to-back winning season?
No, I did not.
Yes. The Panthers have never had 2 winning seasons in a row. And it's funny, even though, you know, they've been to they've won the South the last 3 years. And been to the playoff 3 years in a row. But remember, last year they were 7-8-1.
7-8-1. Yeah.
You know, they've had a couple of years where they were 10-6 1 year, 8-8 the next. So they didn't necessarily have a losing season, but an 8-8 season is not a winning season. You know, it's like kissing your sister.
Interesting.
But anyway, I thought that was pretty interesting. 20 years, you know. So curious what they do next year. I do not think they'll have a winning season next year.
You know, coming after a Super Bowl season, it sometimes is hard.
Right. It's a letdown, you know. So, again, not playing the easiest schedule in the history of the NFL. You know, so, anyway, I'd be curious. And then one more thing about the Panthers. It's not me if we talked about it. I know I talked about this with somebody. It might have been y'all. It might have been my buddy. I don't know. Did we talk about the Carolina claiming Sam Mills?
I know we have to have done that at some point.
And years, but not, it wasn't the last, it wasn't this season, though.
Maybe not this season.
Okay. Well, then we can bring it back up. I am so tired of fucking Carolina claiming Sam Mills. And I'm sure last time we talked about it, we've said probably the closing. I am calling on the Saints to build a fucking statue of Sam Mills. I'd like if they do the whole Dome Patrol. You know,
you
want
to go there and steal the statue?
No, I don't want their statue.
No, I don't want their fucking statue.
I want our statue. Sam Mills played here from, 85 till 95, 10 years, 11 years. And he played with them maybe 4 or 6,
I don't even think it's that. I think he just played a couple.
Right. And I know then he came back and he was there.
He was their one of their coaches.
But fuck you, Carolina, and stop trying to, claim all, if you type in Sam Mills, it comes in Sam Mills Panthers.
That is really annoying. Yeah. He played with the Saints 86-94, and he played Carolina 95-97.
Right.
It does make me mad that they erected the goddamn statue and we did, and he's there. Yeah. Ugh.
Both teams retired his number. I don't know. Come on.
Yeah, we got to do something. It is annoying. Definitely is annoying. Ugh.
Okay. Anything else on that?
No, way to add to it. Jeff, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, and fuck Carolina too.
And fuck Carolina.
Well, and the story came up because of their keep pounding motto. Apparently,
right.
That's something Mills said to him in speech.
Right before Mills died, right, that's what he keep pounding. That's it, and that's been their
motto for a few
for a
years.
While now. Yeah, since he passed away, which was in the early 2000s. 10, 11 years ago. But if he had to, trust me, in heaven he'd wear a Saints helmet, not a fucking Carolina Panther. Anything.
Yep.
You can believe that. So fuck you, Carolina, and fuck you, Cam Newton. And fuck Atlanta.
All right, let's move on to Pick'ems.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game! It's all about the game. And how you play it, all about control. And if you can take it, all about your debt. And if you can pay it, it's all about pain. And who's gonna make it?
Oh, Pick'ems, last one of the year. So, Jeff, you and Damon both won last week. I unfortunately lost.
Hello?
I can't hear over the music. But of course, I'm sure you've had that queued up the entire show, I'm sure. So Damon finishes the pick-up season at 50-43. Jeff, you and I are...
Go ahead, this would be like being in the bar.
All right. Jeff, you and I are one game back, 49-44, so we owe Damon a dinner.
Jeff, don't you think that because you picked the Super Bowl, you are technically, ahead of Jason?
I mean, I'd like that to be, but we never said
it's not your rule to change, buddy.
This
is my game.
Well, we can vote on it, and Jeff, I vote yes.
Nope.
that you come in second place. What do you think?
Nope, there's no voting on it.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, Jeff did better down the stretch than you did.
My game, my rules.
Jeff did better down the stretch than you did.
We had the same record.
Jeff did better.
We had the same
Jeff
record.
Number two.
Hey.
So.
All right. Well, and then our extended version. Let me do the percentages this time. So hold on.
Well, that's what it has to be. You don't go by. You got to go by the percentage.
I am. Hold on. No, 35-24. So, how do you equal? How do you do a percentage?
Oh my God! Come on.
What's the formula?
Really?
Equals the wins.
You take the wins
divided by
the
total
play.
Yeah.
All
right. Yes. So just have to think it out. Calm the fuck down.
That's how percentage works.
By the total.
I gotcha. I just gotta talk it out.
And he's not gonna do the total.
So did we say what were we gonna give the winner? We could maybe let him come on the show.
That's probably what it should be.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Wait, what? What?
The winner of the Pick'ems at large gets to come on the show.
Sure. I think we kind of offered.
I think that I thought that's what we had.
And done. Alex won last year, and he was on the show.
That's right. He wasn't.
Yeah.
I'm on piss watch. Yeah, trying.
Okay. So, minimum number of games played would have to be at least 9 weeks of the season, right?
At least half.
That's 45 games.
I mean, look, we finished with, we finished with 90, what was that, 93, I guess because of ties. So just do, so you have to have at least 40.
Okay.
Was that 47 games total?
Okay, by that logic, so here's the thing.
So pretty much everybody got it.
Well, yeah, everybody got it. So the winner by percentage would be Glenn at 35-24 with a 59% rating. But Glenn stopped playing and did not make any picks for the playoffs, maybe even the last week of the season. So does he get penalized for that? Or did he sit on his 60%, his 59%?
Look, technically, according to the rules, you know, he had enough to be included. And his percentage is better.
Okay. So, and that's the, if that's the case, there's your winner.
I mean, look,
Glenn, Alex, second place with a 56.4. Alex did not play playoffs either. Now, if you look at people who played the playoffs all the way through,
yeah,
Hungry Hoodat with 56.1%, and then you got Damon at 53, tied with Wheels.
Now did
and Jeff and Jason at 52.
Now who had the most total wins?
The most total wins would be 50, which is Wheels, Hungry Hoodat, and Damon.
We could just bring them all on, but I do maybe next year we should tweak it to where you have to at least
put
in, for at least one of the playoff weeks. Like you can't just skip the playoffs.
Oh wow, some people skip the playoffs.
Yeah, like technically the highest winning percentage, he didn't put in any picks in the playoffs.
He quit. Right, he had
while he was ahead.
Yeah.
According to the rules, they played by the rules. They just had to get more than half the games played to qualify.
Right. Right. Next year we'll do half the game plus the playoffs.
Plus, right, you got
to half the you have to do a minimum of half the regular season plus the playoffs. And it's hard. I know people. I mean, I don't. You know.
Yeah.
People do not like us when we do the show every week, so obviously we're going to make all our picks. I mean, sometimes they don't listen or whatever, but, you know, the good fans do.
So we could figure out, you know, we could invite Glenn because he's got the percentage. You can invite, you know, Wheels and Hungry Hoodat because they got the number, and they're up there, so. Whatever. We'll have plenty of off-season.
Yeah, we'll have guests this off-season.
Time to figure it out, yeah.
The off-season is always fun to bring. Keep it
in. Yeah, yep. Got to keep it lively.
Okay, Lunchbox, let's try this again. We tidy the roof and you jump off and sell like a Spitfire, passing right over the arch nemesis, the Fours. You then swing up to the stage and knock out the pin. And when that's gone, the stage is trashed and we go smoke a bowl. You got it? Now get your fat ass up there. And dude, don't forget your helmet, Snoogans.
All right, and final thoughts, Jason.
Didn't really... You know, talk Pelicans. They've been kind of having their issues. Looks like Tyreke Evans could miss the rest of the season now with his injury. But the big news, shocking news today, is ex-coach Monty Williams' wife died in a car accident in Oklahoma City today. So just devastating for them, the family. They got five kids, ages 17 to 5. Just can't imagine what he's going through, so... just prayers for Monty and hope he can get through this crazy ordeal. I know he's a big religious man, a big guy of faith, so thoughts go out to him, man. It's a terrible, terrible situation. I mean, sorry to be a down, you know, final thought. The news came out today. I just figured I had to mention it.
So a little moment of silence. All right, Damon, final thought?
Well, just glad the season is finally over. Carolina and Cam Newton did not win a championship. Makes the season okay. Peyton Manning, in all likelihood, will have played his last game and going to walk out a two-time Super Bowl champion, a four-time getting to the big game, winning it for two different franchises, which that's pretty impressive in itself. Not many, if only I think one guy has ever done it before. So everybody is 0-0 right now. It's time that we start marching our way back to a championship. Mm-hmm. I don't think that we can make all those moves next, this off season, but we'll definitely be a year closer.
All right. With that, this ends the 2015 football season show of the Dome Patrol podcast. That's all the episode we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. If you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Stay tuned for our 2016 season opener next week. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, 2015 NFL season, donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
To our friends and family.